Well, I get the great opportunity today to talk to us about spiritual formation in the lives of children. Spiritual formation in the lives of children. And before I get started, I just want to put out there, I know that many of you are not actively raising kids in your home right now. Maybe you say, been there, done that. They come to me, I give them back. It's called grandparenting. Maybe some of you don't want to have kids. Maybe some of you don't do well with kids. Maybe some of you get all itchy when you're around kids. Maybe you're here and you are a kid. It's great to have you in church today. But I want to alleviate any anxiety that, oh no, this sermon is not going to be for me, because it actually is. Because when we talk about spiritual formation in the lives of children, what we're actually talking about begins with our own spiritual formation. Because you cannot duplicate, you cannot replicate what you do not embody. And if you're a Christian here today, you know that what you're called to do in this life is that day in and day out, you look a little bit more like the person of Jesus. That you're called to grow hour by hour, week by week, year by year, into peace and patience, kindness, self-control, love, joy. I messed up the order, so I'm going to add to the fruits of the Spirit here or take away, but you know what I'm saying. Your work is to be made into the likeness of Jesus. You see, Paul knew this. Paul tells the Corinthians, follow my example, he says, as I follow the example of Jesus. What he tells us in this great leadership lesson, my friends, is that we do not duplicate what we fake. We do not duplicate what we pretend to be. We do not duplicate our filtered Instagram selves. Oh no. We duplicate who we actually are. Amen. Let that land a little bit. We duplicate who we actually are. And our call as Christians is to become like Jesus. And it's only when we are becoming more and more like Jesus that we get to say to anyone, whether it's our kids, our colleagues, or our housemates, hey, this thing that I'm doing, this way I'm trying with my whole heart to be like Jesus, this thing that I'm doing, if you follow my example, you can become more like him. That's what spiritual formation is, and that's why it's important for all of us. Let me put it to you this way. If you've been around this church for any length of time, you will know that I am not gifted in athletics. Talk about that a lot. I know nothing about sports. But my kids play sports. My daughter in particular was just a cheerleader, so I have to show up to sporting events. I have two problems when I'm at sporting events. Number one, I have no idea what's going on. Number two, I got bad eyes, so I can't even see the ball. I don't know what direction folks are supposed to be running in. So instead of being super engaged watching the game, I people watch. And when you're at middle school games, you're sitting around people, and I like to phrase these folks as overly enthusiastic athletic parents. Do we have any enthusiastic athletic parents in the room? Yes, I know you. You're like, I'm not overly enthusiastic though. I've got the right amount of enthusiasm. Well, I watch enthusiastic athletic parents so that I can figure out what to do. And what that means is every so often in the middle of a game, I do this. Hustle, get up ahead of the ball, put your arms out. And my husband looks at me and says, do you have any idea what that means? I go like, no, I have no idea. I'm just joining the rest of these grown-ups. We haven't, none of us, run an eighth of a mile in the past decade. And yet we're yelling at these kids how to go harder on the court, which I find really hysterical. The problem is, it's not an entirely effective way to coach, nor is it an entirely effective way to raise up in someone else what you haven't worked into yourself, right? But even I, non-sporty girl as I am, know that it's really different when LeBron is walking on the sidelines of his kids' games. Have you ever seen that? They're playing basketball. He's pacing on the sides. He brings them over. He gives them one or two really concrete things. He sends them back out. They go and they do it. And they go back and forth and back and forth like this. And when you watch that, it's incredibly credible, right? Because he's the master. And they're learning from the master. Our your job, if you're a follower of Jesus, is to become a master follower of Jesus. And it doesn't matter if you're 8 or if you're 88 or if you're 38. Every day we're becoming more like the master, and it's then that we can say to someone else, like our kids, follow me like I follow Jesus. That's what we're going to be talking about today. Would you pray with me, and then we'll open up the Bible. God, we thank you for all these kids in our church, and we pray that you would make us into people who love them well. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would increase your presence with us. I pray in particular for an impartation of the Father's heart. The love of God would draw near to us. I pray, God, that you would put power on my words in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to start by taking a look at Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 13. If you have a Bible, you can open it up. I'll read from the screens. It says this: people were bringing little children to Jesus in order that he might place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took the children up in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. Amen indeed. Jesus demonstrates several things to us in this text that we're going to take a look at that are a part of healthy spiritual formation. And the Bible tells us, first and foremost, that he welcomed, these kids wanted to get into his presence. And he welcomed them in, and not only did he welcome them in, he connected profoundly with them. He gathered them up in his arms, and he blessed them. And that is the first component of healthy spiritual formation. It starts with a welcome and connection. And maybe this seems simple to you, but developmental psychologists tell us that even from in the womb, a child is responsive to his or her mother's voice, to her heartbeat, to her anxiety. That even when a newborn is first born, that child is longing for connection with a parent or a caregiver. They're reaching out to be fed and held and nurtured. So the first kind of welcome and connection that we give to children in their spiritual formation is that we give to them, whether parents or caregivers or foster parents, doctors and nurses. Now, I know it may seem like all of those hours spent, those of you who have a newborn, holding the baby that never sleeps. Do any of you have the baby that never sleeps? You'll swear it's been 72 hours and this child is wide awake. And you think, what am I doing? Does this matter? It matters the time that you spend with the infant like that. It matters how much Play-Doh that you play until your brain is like Play-Doh and Play-Doh is oozing out of your ears. It's a type of connection with your child. I have a colleague, he's got an 8-month-old child, and every time I see him with his 8-month-old, he's holding her up like this. So she's looking straight into his eyes, and he's a really tall guy. So she's floating like 8 feet in the air when he does this, which is why it's so noticeable. But he's looking up at her and his eye-to-eye, face-to-face connection, communicating to her, you are wanted, you are welcomed, you are loved. And when we are parenting young children, and we know that the world doesn't offer all kids this kind of environment, but when we are in any kind of environment with our kids or any other kids, kids on your bus, kids in the lunch cafeteria, kids in your office, kids who are your grandkids, kids who you're their auntie to, what we communicate to them when they are little is you are welcome, you are wanted, and you are loved. And I will spend time with you, and I will fold your laundry, and I will change your diaper 1,000,000,100 times a day. And in that space, what we are communicating to children is that they are welcomed and connected. And my friends, because children blur the line between their earthly parents and their heavenly Father, this is the most profound entry point that we have for the spiritual formation for the lives of our children. Because children begin to perceive what God might be like based on what we are engaging with them or how we are engaging with them. Now, last week, I got stuck somewhere without a car. My husband and I are juggling a car, and so I called an Uber, and my Uber driver is this delightful woman. She's so full of life, vibrant, smart, funny. She told me, she's like, I'm the only one of my friends who got married before I have kids, and I'm still married. And I was like, I wish I had a medal to give you. You deserve like a medal or something like that for that. And she was just full of life. And she was telling me that she was out of work, they were struggling financially, and she's driving an Uber to get grocery money for dinner tomorrow night. And I said to her, that sounds so hard. That sounds like really hard. And I noticed, though, that at the same time, you are so full of like life as we were talking. How does that work? How does that work for you? She said to me, well, yesterday I was crying about it, but my husband came up to me and he put his arms around me and he said, baby, don't cry. God's got us. And then my four-year-old crawled into my lap and he put his arms around me and he just did what he saw his daddy doing and he said, mama, don't cry, God's got us. And I thought to myself, that right there is a picture of healthy spiritual formation in the life of a child. Even when life is hard, even when circumstances aren't super rainbowy, that's what spiritual formation looks like in the life of a child, as parents are modeling the welcome and connection of Christ to their kids. Now, just as an aside, it is hard to be married and stay married, isn't it? I mean, it's hard to be single and stay single too. But one of the things that we're doing as a church next month is a special gift for those of you who are married. Maybe you're married and you've got kids and you feel like, man, the last time we invested in our marriage was like our wedding day. Since then, we've just been paying bills and folding laundry. Well, we are hosting an all-church vow renewal, our marriage and family life ministry is. This is a really cool thing. There's information on the screen about who you can contact to find out more. It's just a great opportunity to pour a little bit of love into your marriage relationship, stand up again together, and say I do one more time. We as a church recognize that life can be challenging, and we want to support you in the midst of it. So for some of you, that might be something that you want to check out. Let me go back to Mark's text, though, because we see something interesting that bears mention here, which is that in the midst of Jesus being welcoming and connecting, the well-meaning disciples actually set up a bunch of rules. And the rules were actually going to keep kids away. It says that the disciples spoke sternly to the children. The disciples shooed them off, it says in some translations. But Jesus was indignant, which simply means he got super irritated. And he said, let the little child come to me. It's something for us to remember, my friends of faith, is that we never want to start with children. We never want to start their idea of God beginning with religious rules. Religious rules can create shame, which creates distance from God. We always start with relationship with Jesus. We always start with relationship with Jesus. Religious rules are not all bad, but if they start at the very, if it's the first thing that a young child sees is, this is what you do, this is what you don't do, this is how you act, this is how you have to show up. Very often we'll get kids who know to tuck in their shirt tails, match their shoes in their belt, memorize Bible verses, but they will have missed what is most important, which is the welcome and connection of a relationship with Jesus. A relationship with Jesus is first and foremost what we're presenting to our kids. My friend Carrie Davis says it this way. He's a pastor here. He says, religious rules sound like, oh, I have just really messed up. If I tell my dad, he's gonna kill me. I better run away. But what faith in Jesus sounds like is, oh, I have really messed up. I need to call my dad. He's gonna know what to do. That's the kind of welcome and connection we want to invite our kids into. So how is it that we can do that, particularly when our kids are little? Well, one really practical way is togetherness. If you are raising kids, whether they're yours or your kids' kids perhaps, you're raising nieces and nephews, togetherness is really important. Now, the family dinner always gets all the hoopla, right? Family dinner is super fantastic, which in theory it is, but in practice, does anybody ever have a hard time doing family dinner? I do. So what's important is not necessarily family dinner. That's not what's sacred. What's sacred is togetherness with your children. Finding ways to be together with your children. I spend more time than I would like watching Call of Duty on Twitch. And for those of you who know what that means, the reason I'm watching Call of Duty on Twitch is because my kid loves to watch it. And I want to do what he wants to do. I want to find out more about what he's interested in. Togetherness with our kids is incredibly important. It doesn't have to look like deep and profound, meaningful conversations all the time. When was the last time you asked your kid what's important to them? And you went along with what they wanted to do. And then when you're experiencing togetherness, another thing that you can do is just be curious. You know, so often, parents, we have so much good information to give to our children. Do you know, are you feeling me? If you're a parent, don't you have a lot of good information to give to your children? And you just think, if you would just listen to all of my good information, everything would be okay. But try this, try being curious when you're hanging out with your kid to figure out what's important to them. And hey, anybody watch the Super Bowl? Seriously, you guys, okay. I watched the Super Bowl, people. I'm sure you guys did. I don't know what was going on in the Super Bowl, but I do know what was going on in halftime. So I'm watching the Super Bowl halftime. I got my kids there. I've got a friend over. We're watching the halftime of Super Bowl, and I'm having all sorts of halftime thoughts. I'm not going to tell you what they were, but I had all sorts of thoughts. And I thought I should share all my thoughts with my son because I think he would really love to hear my thoughts about Super Bowl halftime. And right as I was about to pour out my profundity and wisdom to him, my friend leans over and says, hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? You guys, we had a 30-minute conversation that spanned sexism and body image and spirituality and gender and what the Bible means and how the Bible informs faith and feminism and femininity. We had this radically amazing spiritual formation conversation right in the middle of J-Lo and Shakira and some football. Simply because in the moment, a friend in that space leaned over to my son and said, what do you think about this? That's a welcoming kind of question. So we want to welcome our kids and connect with them. And it's not only our welcome and connection that we're demonstrating to our children. Kids need to know they weren't just formed themselves longing for connection, but they were formed out of longing. God longs every human being into existence. Before you were born, I know you, he says. I knit you together in your mother's womb. Kids need to hear this, that by us and by God, they are welcomed, they are wanted, and they are loved. When kids are little, that kind of welcome and connection forms like a nest for them, a spiritual nest to grow and develop in. And then as our kids begin to get older, we can add a few more things into their spiritual formation. We start with this deep connectivity, and then into it, we add something else. We can add intentional training. Spiritual formation requires intentional training. Many of you know the scripture from Proverbs that says, train a child up in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. Train a child up in the way they should go. Spiritual formation is like any other kind of formation. You have to actually do a little work to get there, right? Now, I have a theory that I've developed over the years. There's different versions of it. One version of my theory I call the treadmill illusion. The cousin to the treadmill illusion is the gym membership illusion. The second cousin to the treadmill illusion and the gym membership illusion is the illusion that if you get skim milk in your Frappuccino with double whip, it actually matters. What this theory says is this: if I just have a treadmill, I'm on my way to getting fit, which isn't true. We actually have to work out if we want to see our lives impacted, shaped, and formed, right? The scripture tells this to us. Dear friends, as you have always obeyed in Philippians, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. What a great message this is for young people in their lives. Do you know that God has a good purpose for you? Do you know that he has a good plan for you? Do you know that God wants to partner with you in this world? Do you know that you were called into being and you're not just wanted and welcomed and loved, but there is so much more for you to accomplish in the kingdom of God? That's the message that we give to our kids. And there are three particular ways of thinking about these workouts that I want to call to your mind. The first workout that I think we need to introduce our kids to for their own spiritual formation is prayer, is a life of prayer. And the reason that prayer is so important to me is because I think it's in prayer that kids begin to have their first experience of a direct connection to God. That their experience isn't of what my parent or what my grandparent or what my teacher thinks about God, but in prayer, a child can actually begin to encounter God. Do you know that the Holy Spirit lives inside of children? Do you know that God speaks to children and calls to children and has words to children? And it's in a prayerful encounter with God that kids begin to develop that, and they begin to understand that God is for me. So how is it that we pray with our kids? I'm glad you asked. I have some ideas for you. As your kids are moving into elementary age, one of my favorite prayers is the feeling prayer. It's a feeling prayer. It's a prayer that helps a kid understand their own feelings. And what a feeling prayer looks like is this: is you've got a kiddo, and maybe you've recently separated and you're living in different houses from your spouse, and your kid is sad because they're not used to this discontinuity of moving from one home to the next. When your kid is sad and maybe you feel sad, you simply say to your kid, "Do you know that Jesus loves you even when you're sad? Do you know that Jesus is here with you when you are sad? Let's invite Jesus to be present to us now. I hear you that you're so angry that this thing at school wasn't fair. I hear you that you're so upset that somebody else got the thing and you didn't get it. Do you know that even when you're so angry, Jesus loves you when you're angry? Jesus never leaves you because you're angry. Right now, Jesus, would you be present to us in the midst of our anger?" Feeling prayers. Now, two caveats with these prayers. Number one is if you do this all the time, it'll get really annoying. So you can't do it all the time. And number two, your kids will start to do it back to you. "Daddy, I noticed that you're irate because that guy cut you off on 270. Do you know that God is with you when you're irate? Would you like to invite the presence of the Spirit?" They really will. A feeling prayer, a feeling prayer. Ask your kids to pray for you when you're stressed out, tired, scared, or starting a new job. Invite your kids to pray for you. They learn two things. They learn it's okay to ask for prayer, and they learn that their prayers count. It's a way of modeling vulnerability. Do a three deep breath prayer, which is simply, you take three deep breaths, and then you tell Jesus what you're grateful for. There's so many different ways of praying with kids. I'd encourage you to get creative and do this. You know, when my kids were little, I was in a play group with my kids, which basically looked like a bunch of really strung out, tired moms pretending to have a Bible study while their kids wrecked somebody's house. And at one point in this play group, our kids were like 3 and 4, a dear friend of mine in the group, she had recently got a diagnosis of breast cancer, and she was devastated. And all the mamas gathered around her, and we were laying hands over her and praying for her when all of a sudden one of the three-year-olds wanders into the middle of this cluster, and he looks up at her, and she's just weeping. And we're praying, and he wanders off to the windowsill where he grabs a tissue or two, and he came back to the center of that place, and he literally began to dab the tears off of her cheeks as we were praying. It's in an experience of prayer that kids can begin to experience the compassion of God, the proximity of God, the closeness of God. So we teach our kids to pray. And the second spiritual workout I'd like to offer you is scripture. All scripture, Timothy tells us, or it says in Timothy, is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Here we go again, every good work. The best way maybe to get introduced into scripture isn't writing it line by line as a discipline for something that you did. Maybe it's explaining to kids, God has every good work for you. Do you know that you're wanted, you're welcomed, and you're loved? Do you know that there's a plan for your life? There is every good work for you to do. Do you know that this city, Columbus, Ohio, needs you, and that God's got a way for you to activate in his kingdom, in this city? And he didn't just tell you he's got some big idea for you and then leave you hanging. He gave you some tools. And the tools are found in his word, and it's precious, and it's true, and it's for you. That's the kind of relationship we want our kids to have with scripture. Let them wrestle with it. Let them not understand it. If you yourself struggle understanding scripture, go to our bookstore after the service. Our pastor, Ron Hitchcock, has a ton of great resources, prayer resources, Bible study resources, parenting resources. He's been a marriage and family pastor for decades. He's remarkable. He is there to resource you. We want to help our kids fall in love with Scripture, because it's their story, and it's the equipping that God gives us to work out what he is working into us. So the second tool is scripture. I have a friend, she teaches at Bible Study Fellowship. She teaches the kids. And she was telling me that one of the things that they do, she's teaching 2 and 3-year-olds, when they read a Bible verse, is they open a physical Bible with pages. It's like I couldn't even find one. They open a physical Bible, and as they read scripture to them, they have the children come up and touch the verse that they've just read, and they say to them, "This is the Bible. God's true word for you. This is for you." And she said, my 3-year-old has taken to doing that every time we have company over. Most of the times my company are not Christian people. So my 3-year-old grabs a Bible, walks up to my friend, opens up the Bible, grabs my friend's hand, puts her hand on the Bible and says, "This is God's true word. This is for you." That's the kind of relationship we want our kids to have with scripture. And then finally, the last workout is community, is just helping our kids be in community. You know, the Bible tells us that we don't go to church, we are the church. So even if you don't like the church, if you're a Christian, you just carry it with you everywhere you go anyways. We're told in Hebrews not to give up meeting together. Not to give up meeting together. And we're going to talk about this more next week, the relationship between the church and kids. But let me just say this. I am fully aware that more and more people are not going to church. For many of us, it's difficult to get there. Lives are busy. A lot of people struggle with questions of faith. Does this even matter anymore? Is it relevant to me? Is it true? It's why we're doing a whole sermon series on doubt. Because doubt is an essential part of an active and flourishing faith. It's something that we navigate our way through. And as church is struggling, as our culture is struggling with church, it is incredibly important that we teach our children, this is what we do. These are our people. You might think they're weird. They might think you're weird. But this is the place you learn to worship with someone who's different than you. This is the place where you have communion with someone who's different than you. This is the place where you learn to serve the poor. This is the place where you learn to come together and be the prophetic body of Christ that we are called to be in this world. The third workout is the workout of community. So we've created a nest of sort of a welcome and invitational and connecting place for kids to experience the fact that God loves them, that they're what? They're welcomed, they're wanted, and they're loved. And then into that, we give these workouts. We help our kids into their elementary and middle school years recognize that you can actually engage with your faith and learn and grow faith muscles. And then as our kids move toward later adolescence, the last thing that I want to mention that is an important part of healthy spiritual formation is that healthy spiritual formation involves an overflow of blessing. An overflow of blessing. We see this going back to Mark. And Jesus took the children up in his arms. He laid his hands on them and he blessed them. Healthy Christian formation should feel like a gift and not a burden. In Jesus's time, this picture of laying hands on a child, it was symbolic of an impartation. The message was the goodness that the thing that I have, the power, the authority, what is in me, I bestow onto you. It was an act of a gift. And I want, my friends, for us to be people in this world who are pouring out gift into the lives of young people. Do you know what young people do not need to hear? They do not need to hear themselves being made fun of. They don't need to hear themselves like their generation being typed as one thing or another. It just gets old and a little disenfranchising. Kids need to hear words of blessing. This is what I see in you. This is how I see the Lord moving in you. Here is this good and wonderful thing that you did today. They need to be blessed and blessed and even more blessed. We know this to be true, that negative words land much more harshly, last longer, and are less effective in formation. Positive words do so much more. For every one critique, you should be giving five concrete words of blessing to your kids. So what is a practical way to think about blessing here as we end? I've got two simple points for us. One is a don't. And one is a do when it comes to how to be a blessing to your kids, particularly as they're getting older into adolescence. We'll start with a don't, and it is simply this. Don't freak out. Don't freak out. There are gonna be a lot of opportunities for you to freak out. All sorts of them. In every imaginable and unimaginable array. But my friends, there always needs to be a grown-up in the room. And if you are the parent, guess what? Let me say it another way. If a house is on fire, if there is so much anxiety and chaos and crisis, if a house is on fire, does it really need you lighting another match? Now, some of you will say, my kid needs to know what I think. And to that, I would say, fantastic, do that before they're 17. Because if they don't know what you think, and they're 17, my friend, that ship may have sailed. Don't freak out. Your kids are going to come to you. They're going to say, Dad, my girlfriend is pregnant. They're going to say, Grandpa, you paid for that year of school and I just failed all my classes. They're gonna come to you and they're gonna say, hey, guys, I need to talk to you about who I am with regards to my sexual identity. They're gonna come to you and they're gonna say, listen, I got a tattoo and I thought it meant this, but it actually meant that. True story. So what do? You've already made the commitment, haven't you, to not freak out. So step one in not freaking out is you take a deep breath. And in that deep breath, what you are actually doing is praying and you are saying, Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus, my kids just put something on the table. I don't know what to do with it. Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus, be present to me. And you get yourself present to Jesus, and then here's what you do. You look your kid in the eye, and you say to your kid, I love you. I am so glad that you are willing to talk to me about this. Would you tell me more about what's going on? And then you stop talking. And you let them fill in with whatever grace is there, the space between you and them. You stay connected to your kid. You take a deep breath. You stay connected. You tell them, I love you. Tell me more. And then number three, you trust in Jesus, my friends. And this is why your spiritual formation is so important. Because when you trust in Jesus, you know that he loves your kid more than you love your kid. You know that he says, if you ask for wisdom, I'll give it to you. You know that he is good and gracious and all powerful. So you trust in Jesus. And then you ask for help. That's step four. You ask for help. You go to your small group. You say, I don't know what to do with what my kid brought me. Can you help me? You go to one of our pastors. You say, I don't know what to do. Can you help me? We have a fantastic professional counseling center here at Cooper Road. You go to a counselor. There's no shame in going to a counselor. I don't know what to do. Can you help me? And my friends, that cycle, you do it multiple times, not a week. You do it multiple times a day. You take a deep breath. You stay connected, you trust in Jesus, and you ask for help. That's what we don't freak out. So let me end with this. What do then? We do speak words of blessing. We speak words of blessing. Now, some of you may come from culture or different ways of child raising that says, well, we're taught that my job is to toughen up my kid. And I would just ask you to consider a what if. What if it's your job to strengthen your kid? What if it's not your job to toughen them up in the same harsh way that the tough world is gonna toughen them up? But what if it's your job to strengthen their soul, to strengthen their spirit, to strengthen their sense of identity, to strengthen their knowledge that they are wanted and welcomed and loved by God? What if your job is to strengthen their sense of purpose and plan? Who they are, the person that God is creating them to be. What if your job is to strengthen them? The way that we do that is we tell them what we see them doing well. It is so easy to tell people what they're not doing right. It's so easy to call names. You're just so lazy. Why are you always so late? You never pick up your towels off the floor. Why do you always leave the yogurt lid on the counter? I don't know, they do. It's so easy to speak critical words, and my call to you today would be, speak words of blessing over your kids. Here's what I see in you. I think God has given you the gift of justice. I think God has given you the gift of compassion. I see you showing up and doing your hardest, and man, you got a D in that class, but I see that you're working really hard. I'm so proud of you for doing that. You're speaking words of life into them, and as we end, I want to show you a very brief and very practical demonstration of this, because since we began with LeBron, I thought it'd be nice if we ended with him. So you're going to turn your attention to the screen for a short example of what it looks like to speak words of encouragement to a child. This is him talking to his kid after a rough basketball game.
You may listen. Come sit down real quick. You made three of the biggest plays in the game. You want me to tell you what they were? And you get too down on yourself for no reason. You made three of the biggest plays in the game. You got the offensive rebound, right? Down four, you got the offensive rebound, got the tip in, right? And then you had the outlet pass to Owen when he got the and one. And then you made the last swing scene to him for the game winner. You know what I'm saying? So, like, if you're missing shots or making shots, don't worry about it, kid. You played a hell of a game. You ain't got to worry about making shots or missing shots. All right? Good job. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you, man. All right, go with your team. Bye. Good job.
So if you're making shots or missing shots, don't worry about it. I'm proud of you. If we teach kids that God longs to be connected to them and is welcoming them, if we give kids spiritual workouts to help them form in themselves Christ-likeness, and if we pour out blessing onto them, we will raise kids who have a great shot at being healthily, spiritually formed. And my friends, if we take these things into our own lives, we will have that same opportunity ourselves.